Welcome to Spiritual Warfare, Part 4, The Commander-in-Chief. Now, let's continue in The Commander-in-Chief. Let's speak of God, the Holy Spirit. Now, the Holy Spirit is part of the triune nature of God, but the Holy Spirit also has an individual personality. And so, we also, later in these Bible courses, I will be teaching on the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And so this will be brought to you at a later time, but just to give you a heads up on that. But God, the Holy Spirit, I want to talk to you about the personality of the Holy Spirit. This is so wonderful because Jesus said, unless I not go away, then the Holy Spirit will not come, the Counselor. And there's the Holy Spirit is spoken of by Jesus in John 15 and John 16. Incredible detail of the ministry of the Holy Spirit. And the ministry of the Holy Spirit continues in the world, in the hearts of the believers today. So the personality of the Holy Spirit. The Bible reveals that the Holy Spirit has a mind. In Romans 8:27, it says, and he that searches the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. Romans 8:27. The personality of the Holy Spirit, again, another personality is that he searches out the human mind. 1 Corinthians 2:10 says, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things, yes, the deep things of God. The Holy Spirit, a personality of the Holy Spirit, has a will. In 1 Corinthians 12:11, it says, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. That is speaking about in the administration of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has a will. Also, the will of the Holy Spirit, it guides believers by denying permission for certain actions. We've seen in the Bible how sometimes the Holy Spirit would say no. We see in Acts 16, 6 through 7, it says, now when they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Spirit to preach the word in Asia, and they were come to Mysia, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So, yes, the Word of God tells us to go out to all the world and to preach the Word of God to all the world. But there are times when the Holy Spirit will say, go here, go there, yes, no, stop, go. And so as believers, we have to understand the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the Commander-in-Chief. The will of the Holy Spirit, it also guides believers by granting us permission. We just saw how it can deny us permission to do certain things, but it also grants us permission. The Holy Spirit does. In Acts 16:10, it says, and after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. And then in Acts 8:29, again, the Holy Spirit, he speaks. It says, then the Spirit said to Philip, go near and join thyself to this chariot. So the Holy Spirit grants us permission. The Holy Spirit gives us direction. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. And also, the Holy Spirit, he loves. We find this in Romans 15:30. It says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Romans 15:30. So again, it's the Spirit of God that keeps us in the love of God. And so the Holy Spirit also intercedes for us. As we read earlier, spoke earlier in the previous part three, how Jesus intercedes for us, the Holy Spirit also intercedes and prays to God on behalf of all believers. We find this in Romans 8:26. It says, likewise, the Holy Spirit also help us in our infirmities. For we know what we should, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be spoken or uttered. Romans 8:26. Many times we do not know what to pray for. Many times we do not know even what to say. But the Spirit of God, he intercedes. The Spirit of God, he gives us direction on how to call out to the Lord. Now, the disciples, they did not know how to pray. And that's why they said, Jesus, teach us how to pray. And Jesus had been anointed by the Spirit of God as he came up out of the river, the Jordan River, and when he was baptized by John the Baptist, his cousin. And so the Spirit of God led him into the wilderness to be tempted by Satan. And Christ passed with flying colors, of course, but the Spirit of God was upon him. And the Spirit of God was with him. And so these disciples saw Jesus praying. It was under the anointing of the Spirit. And so the same Spirit can teach us how to pray, how to talk to God. He intercedes for us. So from this list of personality traits, you can immediately recognize the important functions of the Holy Spirit in spiritual warfare. The Holy Spirit, he guides your warfare. He reveals spiritual things that cannot be known naturally. Amen. And the Holy Spirit, he speaks the will and the words of God to you. He also intercedes for you as you are engaged in spiritual battles. Now, I want to talk to you about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, there are many spiritual evidences. There is a spiritual experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit, which involves not only the sign of speaking in other tongues, as you find in Acts 2, and the evidence of power to become an effective witness in the gospel, which is found in Acts 1:8, but there is many evidences through the gifts of the Holy Spirit of God and through the fruit of the Holy Spirit. The gifts are for ministering. The gifts are clearly for ministering because in Acts 1:8, Jesus tells the disciples that you will receive the gift, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You will receive power. Acts 1:8, you will receive power when you have been baptized with the Holy Spirit. And what was that for? That was to preach the gospel, because those disciples could have preached the gospel at any time, but they had to go to Jerusalem and wait for the gift to come upon them. So therefore, in Acts 2, when it came, then they were able to go out and minister. So that baptism of the Spirit of God, yes, it is to do the ministry of the work that God has called you to. And there are many evidences that you have been baptized in spirit. Speaking in tongues is a evidence, but it is not the evidence. I personally believe that the fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, those are the evidences of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And we'll be speaking more about that here in just a moment here. Go with me back to Scripture. The Holy Spirit, he gives special gifts to believers. Now, look, these gifts, let's speak on the gifts for a moment. These gifts are discussed in detail on the course of the Holy Spirit, which I will give at a later time. But the main references listing the gifts of the Holy Spirit are found in Romans 12, 1 through 8. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 31, Ephesians 4, 1 through 16, and 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. Again, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are necessary to equip the believer for combat against the forces of evil, for the preaching of the gospel. Now, the gifts of the Holy Spirit include the following: special gifts to equip God's people, such as, apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers. Now, there are the speaking gifts to explain God's truth. The gifts are the gift of prophecy, teaching, exhortation, word of wisdom, and the word of knowledge. And then there are the serving gifts to enable God's work. There are serving, helps, leadership, administration, giving, showing mercy, discerning of spirits, faith, and hospitality. Now, the signs, gifts to establish God's authority are the gift of tongues, the interpretation of tongues, miracles, and healings. Amen. 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 And so those are the gifts of the Holy Spirit in just a nutshell. And the scriptures I gave you can take you into your own personal study to understand it in a more clear way. But the fruit of the Holy Spirit, you see, the Holy Spirit also develops a spiritual fruit in the life, and only in the life of a believer. Now, the fruit of the Holy Spirit refers to the nature of the Spirit revealed in the life of the believer. Spiritual qualities which should be evident in the lives of all Christians. See, the gifts of the Holy Spirit are for power. The fruit of the Holy Spirit is for character in the life of a believer. Now, if you do not develop a Christ-like character traits, then you will become a victim to the forces of evil. Spiritual fruit, my friend, is evidence of spiritual maturity. And therefore, it is evidence of the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Like fruit in the natural world, it is a product which is the result of the process of life. You see, there are two types of spiritual fruit. There is the spiritual fruit of reproduction. Okay, John 15, 16 says this: "You have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Jesus is not saying, go and pick some apples and oranges and hold on to that fruit. No, he's talking about your life, the way you conduct the things in your life, your character. And so he says that when you learn to love, when you learn peace, when you learn what it means to have joy, when you learn what it like means to have self-control, those are the fruit of the Spirit. That's the fruit of life. That's your evidence that, God is working in your life and that your fruit should remain, meaning you should learn what it means to be a man or woman of peace, and not just for a year or two, but for the remainder of your life. Hold on to that. There will be times where you may fail God, but get back up, get your eyes on Jesus, get filled with the Holy Spirit, and keep going forward. Amen. Now, there is also the inner fruit of Christ-like qualities. Now, these qualities are completely opposite of the fleshly nature of a man and a woman. Now, I want to read this to you in Galatians 5, 19 through 23. It says, "Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, and of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in the past time, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is patience, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law." Temperance, that is self-control. And so it just depends on what translation of the Bible you're reading. And the New King James Version is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Again, that's in Galatians 5, 19 through 23. Now, although the power of the flesh was defeated at the cross, as a believer, you experience this only to the degree my friend, that you practice faith in the finished work of Jesus. So therefore, to be effective in denying the power of the sinful nature of the flesh, it is necessary that you develop or put on the fruit of the Holy Spirit, the armor of God. So where is the Holy Spirit? We talked about where is God, where is Jesus? Look, Jesus promised his followers that upon his return to heaven, he would send the Holy Spirit to earth to comfort them. In John 14, 16 through 17, it says, "And I will pray to the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, and that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, nor knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you." So Jesus, in John 14, 16 through 17, Jesus was saying, the Holy Spirit is coming. He's not in you yet, but he's dwelling with you, but he will one day be in you. And he came into the hearts in Acts chapter 2, into the hearts of the believers. So one of the main functions of the Holy Spirit, it is to direct attention to Jesus Christ. John 15, 26 says this, "But when the Comforter is come," that's the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, "whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father," it says, "he shall testify of me." That's Jesus saying the Holy Spirit will testify of the cross. The Holy Spirit will reveal Jesus Christ to those who are crying out with a repentant heart. He is the one who directs attention to Jesus. In your church setting, in your time of worship, in everything that you do, it is the Holy Spirit, it is his ministry to direct all things to the glory of Christ. Now, God, the Holy Spirit, in spirit form and invisible to the natural eyes of man, he is in the world today. He is active in convicting men and women of sin, drawing them to Jesus Christ, equipping believers with the power for spiritual warfare, guiding them and helping them to testify of Jesus. Now, the Holy Spirit ministers in many other ways in this world. And we will get into that in a teaching called Ministry of the Holy Spirit. So, praise God. Again, it's not by emotions that we worship God, but it's by the written word of God. And Jesus said, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." We have to believe that in the hard times. And so, when you feel like falling into a place of depression or anxiety or fear, you have to understand the Holy Spirit is right there with you. And you have to put your faith in the written word of God and let that word come alive in your heart. Amen. You see, the Holy Spirit has a sensitive nature. I want to talk to you about the sensitivity of the Holy Spirit. This means that the Holy Spirit does have feelings, not feelings in regards to us. You know, he is holy. He is pure. Amen. He is powerful. He's almighty. He has feelings that can be affected by the actions of men and women. So because of this sensitive nature of the Holy Spirit, the Bible warns that we should not lie to the Holy Spirit. Acts 5, 3, 4, we should not lie. Acts 7, 51 says that we should not resist the Spirit. We should not quench the Spirit in 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. We should not grieve the Spirit. Yes, 1 Thessalonians 5, 19. Psalm 78, 40 and Ephesians 4, 30. We should not insult the Spirit. We should not blaspheme the Spirit. We should not vex the Spirit. These are actions that are discussed in detail in the ministry of the Holy Spirit that will be coming up soon. I'm looking forward to that teaching. But this is just to give you a little insight of what is so sensitive in the Holy Spirit. We remember in Acts 5:3-4, how Ananias and Sapphira, how they lied to the Holy Spirit. And because of that, they dropped dead. We should not resist the Spirit. Again, These are things that the spirit is sensitive. If we act sinful, then it can stop the move of the Holy Spirit. So it is important that you do not offend the sensitive nature of the Holy Spirit. Now, if the Holy Spirit is offended by your actions, I'm going to tell you this, he will withdraw his presence. You cannot wage effective spiritual warfare without the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, he is not going to leave you or abandon you, but God loves you and he disciplines those whom he loves. And so therefore, God will allow to a certain degree the enemy to take, to do certain things in your life to draw you back to the Father. Look at Job. Look at the story of Job. Job did not even quench the Spirit. Job did not even have what we have today in regards to being filled with the Holy Spirit. But the Bible says, but yet Job was a righteous man, and yet it caught the attention of God and of Satan. And so God allowed Satan to come against Job to test him. And so we cannot tempt God. You know, God says only one time in Scripture, test me and see if I will not open up the windows of heaven. And that is found in the book of Malachi, where God is saying, hey, honor me with your giving, with your offerings, with the tithe. And so we cannot, we can offend God. And to a certain degree, the Holy Spirit will draw back and allow you to, how do I say this, get slapped around by the devil a little bit so that you can wake up and repent and to continue your journey with Jesus. He loves those, his servants. He loves them. He will discipline you. So we have to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. Now, there are the titles of the Holy Spirit as well. We talked about the titles of Jesus and the titles of God. There are several titles used in the Bible to describe the Holy Spirit. A title is a descriptive phrase which explains a person's position or function. Now, it is important that you know the function of the Holy Spirit as you enter spiritual warfare. Now, as you look up, you know, following references in your own Bible study time, you're going to find many titles given to the Holy Spirit, but let me give you some. The Holy Spirit, you know, he is called the Spirit of God, the Spirit of Christ, the Eternal Spirit, the Spirit of Truth, the Spirit of Grace, the Spirit of Life, the Spirit of Glory, the Spirit of Wisdom and Revelation, the Comforter, the Spirit of Promise, the Spirit of Holiness, the Spirit of Faith, and the Spirit of Adoption. Those are just to name a few. Now, the Bible uses also several emblems to represent the Holy Spirit. Now, an emblem represents something, you know, it is a symbol which has a special meaning. So when you look up and you hear the following references of the Holy Spirit in the Bible, such as the dove, oil, water, a seal, wind, fire, you know, these are all emblems of the Holy Spirit. And I will be speaking more about that as well in the ministry of the Holy Spirit teaching coming up soon. But in this teaching, you have learned of the triune nature of God, and you have studied about God the Father, God the Son, Jesus Christ, and God the Holy Spirit. With their combined functions in the realm of spiritual warfare, they are a powerful force of good in the universe. But it is not enough that you just recognize the spiritual forces of good that exist. The Bible says that in James 2:19, it says, thou believest that there is one God? You do well. The devils also believe and tremble. So it's good to believe, but it's good to accept Christ, to follow Christ. The spiritual forces of evil, they believe in God and are fearful of him, but they are still evil. So to simply believe in God, how do I say this? It's not enough. You must acknowledge him as Lord of your life. You must accept the sacrifice of Jesus Christ for your sin You must repent. And you must stay in a mindset of repentance. And you must ask forgiveness and become a new creature in Christ and remain in Christ. See, this is the commander in chief. This is the power of good. This is what exists for you. God has given us an incredible opportunity as believers, as Christians in the end time. We have not only God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit, which is enough, but we also have the written word of God. We also have Christian fellowship. We have everything we need to engage in spiritual warfare and to be successful. Amen. And so I pray that this blesses you and this leads you to where God would want you to be. This concludes Spiritual Warfare Part 4, The Commander-in-Chief. God bless you.